From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. A Black River Falls high school teacher was recognized a couple weeks ago as one of four Teachers of the Year by the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Brad Markhart has taught agriculture for about 20 years in the Black River Falls School District. Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Roysom recently visited with Markhart at a field trip near Black River Falls.
I always feel like if I'm doing my job well, you don't see as much of me, that I'm back on the side and my high school kids are being able to apply the things that we've talked about, the leadership principles that they're gaining through FFA and the things that we've talked about in the classroom, and they're being able to use that to apply that in the real world and teach somebody else about what they know. So as an educator, that's my greatest joy in teaching, is being able to see when a student takes things and takes it further and applies it in the world around them.
Do you feel that the program is strong in Black River Falls? I mean, down the road, Alma Center pretty much had closed down their ag department. Does that make you kind of reflect on whether yours will survive?
Oh, of course. You see those types of things happening, and when that was going through, I've always said, though, it's a year-by-year contract, and who knows what the next year brings. And that's why I think it's so very important for a community to realize the importance of programs like ag education in the development of their students. It's a non-core subject, but, the importance of the non-core subjects in our schools is just tremendous. I mean, it's these subjects like ag education where kids can see the relevancy, where they can apply math, they can apply science. You know, they can see where does that apply in the real world. You know, I love it when a student asks me, why do we have to know this? That's because as a teacher, that's my job. I want to help them to make those connections. And so when you see, like a program in Alma Center, a very production ag-orientated community where they choose to not have that program anymore, it concerns me greatly. There's so many tremendous, wonderful educational experiences that non-core areas like ag education can provide students.
Why is it important for everybody to know, or more people to know, about ag education?
When the fourth graders first came off their bus today, I asked them three questions. I asked them, who likes to eat? Raise your hand. I had almost all hands go up. I asked them, who lives in a house or an apartment? Raise your hand. Almost everybody raised their hand. I said, who's wearing clothing today? Oh, everybody raised their hand. And I said, if you raised your hand for any of those things, agriculture was affecting you. And yet, when you look at the number of kids that actually grow up on a farm, that number is dwindling. Even in a rural area like Black River Falls, I probably have maybe 13-15% of my students at most have farm backgrounds. So we're having a great disconnect between where people's food, fiber, shelter materials, and increasingly today fuel is coming from. And yet these same people are making choices about the food they eat, the clothes they wear. They're making choices in the people that they elect to represent themselves, that are making laws that affect the people that are raising those things. And so the further away from it you get, the greater I feel the need for education in those areas, because agriculture is meeting the most basic needs of people. And when you start to disconnect yourself from that, there's some great problems that can occur. You're more easily led astray by false information. I'm constantly trying to teach my students, to be critical thinkers, to analyze what they're seeing and hearing, and does that jive with what their experiences are. And if you don't have experiences like this, you have nothing to refer to, and you're at the mercy of whatever information other people feed you.
In your 20 years of teaching, how far along has ag education come, or how much has it changed from point A to where you're at now? And in order to meet the challenges in the future, like feeding a growing nation and such, what has to change?
I enjoy the subject. I enjoy the industry. It's a dynamic one. It's always changing. And in my 20 years of teaching so far, there's been a lot of changes that have happened already. There's a much greater emphasis on the sciences and agriculture being an applied life science. And I see those kinds of things continuing. And as I pointed out before, I think it's very important if we're going to have an informed citizenry that they recognize, what's going on in agriculture, what types of technologies are being developed, what kinds of concerns should we have with those technologies, but then also recognizing, as you pointed out, we have a world to feed. We have, we have over 6 billion people and growing that need to eat. And how are we going to do that? How are we going to help people to meet those basic needs? And so agriculture is going to have to continue to change. It has to continue to change with the technology. But I think some of the core things, some of the basic things, the idea of critical thinking, is something that can be applied as time goes on, was applied and is being applied and can be applied in the future. So I think going back to some of the basics, critical thinking, problem solving, within the context of ag education, those things will keep evolving along with the technology.
Do you feel that ag programs throughout the state are kind of becoming endangered?
There's cuts, obviously, with budget concerns. Right. Things have to get cut, and I realize that there's a sum, and the sum is reached by, if you're going to be able to reach that sum, things are going to have to be cut. So of course it's a great concern, and I think it just shows how much more we have to make sure that we let the communities that we are in know, and about the value of a well-rounded education, a value of including things like agriculture education, including arts, including foreign languages, allowing students those opportunities to experience those aspects of the world around them. I have a feeling that the budget thing wouldn't be as big of an issue for us if that value was felt more. I think we've really, in education as a whole, we need to really help people to see this common ground that we all have. Public education, I like to use a boat analogy. We're all in this boat. There's no such thing as being outside of the boat. I mean, it's part of what our American society is founded on. And we're in this boat, and like any kind of a boat, there's maintenance. There's things that constantly have to be upgraded, things to be fixed. There's new technologies we can incorporate. But we're in this boat together. Some people have been rocking the boat pretty intensely. But you know what? We're still all in the same boat together. This thing we call public education has gotten us a long way in this country and can continue to take us further. But we've got to realize we're in this together. And I think as people realize that, this is an important part of our society, hopefully the money can be there to help support the broad-based education that, I personally feel is so important.
Do you think that there's going to have to be more skill-based stuff taught at the high school level to get kids ready for the working environment?
I view personally the role of high school education as one a little bit more of a well-rounded education. Allow kids a chance to experience different things, to be able to help them to decide what kind of a pathway, kind of a career pathway, might I like to choose. And so I think it's important for kids to get a broad spectrum of education, different looks at the world. And within that context, I think there can be some specialized things. I do some specialized things. I've got a class in landscape design. I've got, large animal science, veterinary science. I mean, we've got some fairly specific things. But I always tell the kids, you're not coming out of my class ready to be a vet assistant. You're not coming out of my class ready to be a landscape designer. But you are coming out of my classes with enough knowledge to make you dangerous. Enough knowledge to make you go, hey, wow, as I look in this world, I notice this now and I see this. And I may end up looking for a career in it, I might not. But if you are interested in a career in it, then This is where I think the technical colleges and universities, that's when where those come into play then as a part of our public education.
Was this kind of a special honor for you to win the Teacher of the Year because you're in ag education and that it is a topic that doesn't get as much print as perhaps your English teachers, your history teachers and such?
Oh, of course. It's wonderful anytime we can tell the story about agriculture. And again, it goes to the importance of all of our disciplines within education and the development of a student as the whole and the important role that non-core classes can play in it. Because you're right, you know, we keep talking about getting back to the basics, which is good. But how do you make those basics relevant? How do you help the kids to realize this is important? And the way that you can do that is to help them see how this applies in their world. And what better place than in these non-core areas like ag education, where we can make the connection real directly. You know, you're eating it, you're wearing it, it's going in your vehicles. You know, this is the life around you. And let's look at the science behind it. Let's look at the math. Let's read about it. Let's write about it. I mean, we can emphasize all of those basic areas. Another neat aspect I think of, you know, like as a career and technical educator, I get to share those kinds of things with teachers in my building and teachers in my district. I can give them examples. I can give them ideas to help them with their teaching as well, you know, because if I'm an English teacher, I'm looking at that same group of very diverse kids and how do I connect with them? Well, you know, I can share some different things that can help them with some of those kids that if I'm not in the building, that becomes a very difficult thing to do. You know, I can be a resource about ag education for our school district. So, and I guess getting back to your original question, you know, how important is this? I can't say it enough. It's wonderful. I didn't ask for this light to be shown on me. You know, this isn't something that you seek out. Because it's something that's set before me, I will do my best this year to make sure that people realize what ag education is all about and, you know, what we're doing here in Black River Falls and how wonderful a community that I'm blessed to be in. As much as I like to say it's unique, it's not totally unique. I mean, these communities exist throughout Wisconsin and there's so many neat resources that teachers are able to use and to help students.
I know it's not in the job description to be advice giver necessarily to up and coming kids. So maybe I'll turn it onto your family alone. If one of your kids said, "Dad, I want to start up a 30-head dairy operation here in Wisconsin, grow my own corn, soybeans," what would you tell that kid? Go ahead, be prepared for rough waters?
That's true of any of my students, isn't it? I love talking to students about what could they do in the future. How can they use, you know, their talents that they have to make a living, to enjoy the living that they're making, and to feel a contributing part of the community that they're in. And so if one of my children were to say, you know, "I would like to do this," wonderful. If that matches up with your interests and talents, that's great. Now you set before yourself some important decisions that you have to make, gathering information, finding out about that industry, finding out about what you're going to need to get started, networking with people. Who do you need to start talking to be successful in this? Because there are some wonderful, successful farmers in this community and throughout Wisconsin. Connect with them. Find out, how does this work? Why? How can you make a living doing this? Because, you know, I think in all professions, you have people that are doing very well in what they do, in making a living, and you have people that are struggling, and we need to find out what works and what can I use to help make myself successful in that industry as well. So, yeah, if one of my boys wanted to do that, I'd say, great, go for it, but do your homework and, you know, do your research, network with people, and that's part of my job as a teacher, too, to help those kids find those connections, to realize that, oh, I could talk to this person and they could help me along that path. They could give me advice on education. They can give me advice on who else to talk to.
The award apparently comes at a time when ag programs are often being scaled back or being cut in what is a farming-rich state. Could you talk about the plight of the rural programs and why do you think they're important to save?
I can't say enough how important I feel it is for ag education as a part of having an informed citizenry, to have people that are going to be making decisions about food and fiber and fuel. They need to have an understanding of those things, and they need to be able to think critically about information they're being given. And so how much more important can you get than those things that are affecting all of us at this very moment right now? So I think that's very important. I also will point out, kind of interesting, there are programs that have expanded this last year too. There are programs that have, ag programs that have added instructors. And I see that and I go, and it makes sense to me as I view this thing again as this is a community-based thing. And if a community can understand the importance of that aspect of a child's education, there's going to be, you know, we're going to prioritize that then and be able to expand on that and have that as a part of our curriculum. And so, you know, I think it's extremely important. I think it's important for communities to realize the importance of it. That's part of my job as an instructor as well, to help to make sure that, you know, in my local papers that I'm getting some things in, letting them know this is what students in ag ed are learning about right now. It's important for me to get on the radio and have my students on the radio and talking about this is what they're doing in ag education right now. So part of that responsibility, I think, falls on me as a teacher as well. I'm an agriculture educator. I'm hired by my school district. My school district is part of my community. And so me as an ag educator, I'm a resource within my community. And that sometimes, and that obviously extends beyond my classroom walls.
You win the award in pretty interesting time, in a year that half the state's population has the attitude that teachers are under attack by politicians who wish to cut benefits. Is it hard to be the best teacher this year, given the current political climate?
I am not a big fan of that moniker, best teacher. I still find that a very hard pill to swallow. I really prefer to see this. This is a program, part of the Herb Cole Fellowship. Wonderful thing. It was really, when I was nominated for this, the reason I filled it out is the gentleman that nominated me, Paul Ricken, wonderful social studies teacher that we have in our building, had said, you know, Brad, this is a good thing for the community. And he said, this would be a good thing for you for professional development. And I'm like, okay. So I did the nomination form, and then, you know, things kept going. Again, it's not something that you seek out. And so to be called that, especially when I work in a school district with wonderful teachers. I work in an ag education. We have a wonderful network of teachers. I know, you know, what ag ed is like in other districts. I know the teachers in other districts in ag education. Wonderful, wonderful instructors that do magnificent things. I'm constantly asking other teachers. I'm constantly asking other ag teachers, you know, what they're doing and how they're doing it. And, you know, so the moniker best is very hard for me to swallow. This light is shown. There's something that groups of people see that they say, hey, look what this guy is doing. Okay, wonderful. I'll tell you what I'm doing. And there are some really cool things within our community, some programs like this Food for America program that we're doing that are truly wonderful, wonderful things. So I just had to explain that little aspect of best and how I'm trying to deal with that. But along those very same lines, wonderful teachers in our district, wonderful teachers throughout the state, and you know, working hard, you know, we're doing this for kids. And yes, it's a living. You know, I go back, I'm going to have to go back on my Christian faith with that, and God provides. And I guess I've, you know, personally have never been too worried about that. I grew up there again, too. I grew up on a dairy farm in the 1980s. My dad bought the farm in 1979, right prior to the Great recession that we had in the agricultural industry in the 80s. You know, we were not the richest family on the block, you could say. I mean, it was a struggle. And so I've always been very appreciative of anything. I enjoy what I do. And I tell kids that all the time, when they're looking at potential careers. I tell them, you know what, you guys, you got to look at yourself, find your interests and strengths, and then look at other careers and find careers that match up with it. And the money will follow. And don't worry about the money. Right now, just, you know, focus on doing what you do. Nobody likes to have pay cuts. I didn't like to have a pay cut. Nobody likes that. It's not fun, and you certainly feel like people don't appreciate what you do. I empathize with that. I do, because I'm in the same boat. We're all in that same boat. It's not fun. It's not easy. But this too shall pass. And, you know, we just got to keep doing what we do and keep letting the public know that we're in this together, that this is public education is a wonderful thing we have in this country. It's something that's going to take us far into the future. We got to keep working on it, but we got to keep working on it together. And whether or not we hold the same political views about things, we have to find the common ground. We have to collaborate. We have to come up with what are things that we can all live with. And we've got to keep dialoguing. We've got to keep communicating. And that's what's going to keep us moving forward in these, you know, really tough economic times.
Brad Markhart has been teaching agriculture in the Black River Falls School District for the past 20 years. He just received a 2011 Teacher of the Year Award by the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. He is also nominated as the state's representative in the National Teacher of the Year contest and receives $10,000 from the Herb Kohl Educational Foundation. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Stroob, John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau, as well as network news from Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.